We did the first six missions last week, or Monday rather. Okay, so the previous Mishnah says that you can eat certain vegetables and certain grasses. You can eat until the second rain comes. So there's a halacha. You can only eat something which you've picked on Shemitah in the seventh year if that product is still growing in the field. Once it stops growing in the field, you cannot eat it in the house anymore. You have to put it outside your house and anybody can take it. So there's a few things. The halacha is you can eat it. The Mishnah says, at what point do you know it's not available in the field anymore? When the second rainfall comes, which is, let's say, around December, January. So it gives a list of things that you can only eat in the house until the second rainfall. And at that point, it's not available in the field anymore, or it goes rotten in the field. So therefore, you have to stop eating it in the house. You have to put it outside the house, and then anybody can take it. So this Mishnah Zion now says there are other halachas that also depend.
Is it real rain, or is it defined season?
It's not. I mean, it the second rainfall. So in Israel, they have the rainy season is from Sukkot till Pesach, basically, in the winter. So the first rainfall is usually, you know, it comes in bunches. So you get 2 or 3 days of rainfall, then it's nice weather for 2 or 3 weeks, and then you get another rainfall. So the Gemara has this, or the Mishnah has this timing, which is called the second rainfall. And when that falls, there's a whole list of things that depend on the second rainfall. So some of the things that depend is like Shemitah products. So now the Mishnah says there are other things which have nothing, which are unconnected to Shemitah, which also other halachas which also relate to the second rainfall. So Kiyotze Boy, similarly, Hamaskes Bais L'Chaveroi Adar Geshomim. If somebody rents a house and he says it's rented to you till the rain, till the rainfall. So it's acheteret v'yoshnia. That's a defined term. If you say I'm renting it to you till the rains, that means till the second rainfall. And similarly, hamuda hanam mechaveroi adag shomim. If somebody says I make a neder, I will not have a noah, I will not have benefit from my friend till the rainfall. It also means the second rainfall. And a third halacha, al emosai aniyim nichnosim lepardesos. Until what point can the poor people come into an orchard and take those things that they are entitled to? So if for instance, Lekat Shikha and Peah, the Aniyim are allowed to take these gifts, and till what point can they come in? Until Acheteret Riyashnia, till the second rainfall. And after the second rainfall, if people walk on the land, it's going to disturb the growth of the new crop. So therefore, the limit is till the second rainfall. After that, the Aniyim, the poor people, cannot come into the field anymore. And one more halacha, me'emasai nen in the sof and betevim the v'kashol shvius. So from what point on? So if you have a field and you're growing wheat, and you've got some stubble, and some straw left over from the growth. So normally you cannot burn that, you can't waste it, because it's animal feed. Anything that you can feed to animals, you're not allowed to destroy. But once the second rainfall has come, and at that point, from that point on, the straw and the stubble will get rotten. So it's not fit for animal feed anymore. So from that point on, you can use it as fuel to heat your house, and it loses its sanctity of being a Schmitter product. Once it's past that point, it's not usable for animal feed anymore, and you can use it, you can burn it as use it for fuel. And
why is it embarrassing?
Well, it's a long time ago, you know, so you have to heat your home with coal. Okay, next Mishnah. Mishoel Peres Shvias Vekia Shas Abio. Somebody who had fruit of Shmita, and the time for Bior, the time for getting rid of it applies. So as we said, when you have the fruit, and that fruit is not growing in the field anymore, it's not available in the field anymore, you have to stop eating it at home. You have to put it outside your house. It's hefker, and anybody can take it. So the Mishnah says, before you do that, mechalek mozon shalosh sudos, you can give everybody in your household food for three meals. Mechal echad vechad, to each person you can give food for three meals. So it's not, even though you're obliged to put it outside, you can still take food for three meals, because that's an immediate need for it. So therefore, you can do that. And after that, whatever's left, you have to put outside your house. V'aniyim orchin achrabir, the poor people can take whatever you put outside, the poor people can take it. Avaloy ashirim. Different Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says only poor people can take what you put out, not ashirim, not rich people. And Rabbi Yossi Aymer, echad aniyim v'echad ashirim orchin achrabir, whether they're rich or poor, since it's hefka, anybody can take it. Okay, so it's an argument whether everybody can take it or just poor people. Okay, next Mishnah. Mishahayla perish fiyas, shenof lo birusha. If you have, somebody had shvius, shmita fruit or produce, and he got it. His father died, and his father left him this bag of fruit. Or shnita lo b'matana, or somebody gave him a present of these fruits. Rebbe Eliezer Oymer, b'nosnu lo chayen. You have to. Okay, so the reason for this halacha is you're not supposed to say thank you. Somebody gives you shmita produce, so it's not his really. It's hefka. Nobody owns it. So if somebody gives it to you, you cannot say thank you. So Rabbi Eliezer says if somebody gives you a present, or you got Yerusha, inheritance, you should distribute it to give it to people who are going to eat it. And then you're not going to say, since you're not benefiting by yourself, you were forced to give it out to other people. You will realize, you will remember not to say thank you for it. So that's Rebbe Eliezer says you have to distribute it. Hachamim Aymrim Ein Hachoyte Nisker. So You should.
Are we talking about a like a bracha tov netiv here?
No.
What form does he say thank you?
If somebody gave him a present, so he's going to say thank you for it. So here he's not allowed to say thank you. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, distribute the food to other people. You can eat part, but you distribute most of it, and therefore you will not. You will remember not to say thank you to the person who gave it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Chachamim say, somebody who makes a sin should not benefit from it. And here, so this is just an expression. Eina chayta niska, it's an expression. Here, the person who would sin by saying thank you. So therefore, the person who's sinning shouldn't benefit from it. But you should sell it rather than giving it for free to people. You should sell it to other people. Sorry, the person who gets the gift, he should pay for it, and the person who gave him the gift should take that money, because he's not supposed to get paid. He's not supposed to get paid for it. So the person should take the money and distribute it. So Rabbi Elazar says, you give it for free to other people, and therefore you will remember not to say thank you. And the Chachamim say you should pay for it. The person who gave it. To whoever gave you the present, you should pay for it. And therefore, if you pay for it, you're not going to say thank you, because it wasn't a gift. And the person who receives the money, the person who gave you the gift, who receives the money, he should distribute that money to distribute it to other people. Okay, one more halacha.
What does it mean that he has to give it away, all everything, or he also keep it?
According to Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Elazar, you should give away a large portion, not the whole thing. You should give away to other people. So you should give away. Two thirds, three quarters should give away. So therefore,
and what's it?
You remember, therefore you won't say thank you for it.
And so you give three fourths away, and then you, it says, "Inos lelcheichem." What does it mean?
You should give it to those to give it people who will eat it. So you should give it away to other people, and they will eat it. And then
meaning what? Meaning everybody can, no. Everybody, or we are talking about the poor people who are talking about.
No, you give it to your friends.
Is it like for immediate use? Like eat it for immediate use?
Or is it like implying adults, only that adults can definitely eat it?
I don't think it makes a difference.
Or that they're not going to sell it, huh?
No.
Yeah, they're not going to sell it. I think it's because you shouldn't be storing it. You should eat it immediately.
Right. The point is that you should remember not to say thank you. So your friend comes and gives you a bag of wheat, and you're going to thank him. So instead of thanking him, you distribute it to other people, and since you don't benefit from it exclusively, it's you only eat part of it, and therefore you'll remember not to say thank you. I mean, this is not an easy mission to understand, but that's what it says, that you should do that in order that you should not thank the person who gave you the present.
The choita is the one who inherits it, or the choita is the one who can possibly get it to eat?
No, the chachamim say that the choita is the one
who should not get it to eat?
The choita is the person who receives the gift. So now he didn't do a sin yet.
So he is the one who gets everything.
He wants to get everything. And the,
so
the
he already benefits.
Wait. So the Mishnah says the person, we're calling him that he's a chayter, he's a sinner, because if he does say thank you, he's a sinner. So the Mishnah says, in order that he should not be called a sinner and he shouldn't be called a chayter, he should pay for it. And when he pays for it, then he won't say thank you because he's not getting it for free now, he's paying for it. So that's what the Mishnah says. So it's only an expression. He really didn't do a sin yet because he just received it. But if he were to say thank you, that would be a sin. Therefore, the Mishnah says that since he's potentially going to do a sin, he should pay for it to avoid coming to do the sin. That's what the Mishnah says.
Can I get analytical for a second?
Sorry?
Can I get analytical for a second?
Sure.
Only for
I didn't thank the think person.
The Derech Eretz is always
yeah.
The second person also.
That's a good point, yeah. Okay, so it's true. It's that the Shemitah is that you are, everything belongs to Hashem, so you're in fact receiving it from Hashem. That's a good point, okay. The last point in the perek, Oichel Meisas Shviyas, Ad Shloi Hurmo Chaloso. If somebody eats a dough made with Shemitah grain before the challah was taken, so therefore the pre-Mishnah is telling you that there's an obligation to separate challah from Shemitah produce as well. So if somebody eats the dough before challah was taken, he's chayav misa b'day shemayim, he's chayav misa b'day shemayim means chayav death at the hands of heaven, just like somebody who in a regular year who doesn't separate challah. It's Chayav Misa B'Day Shemayim. By the way, this coming year after Rosh Hashanah is going to be Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. So,
good to know.
If you're planning to visit Israel,
it matters with the fruit that you get in the supermarket anyway, because if it's from Eretz Yisrael, they also have these announcements saying that you have to treat it properly, you have to miser, you have to.
And if you buy
grapes, it's probably going to be more of a problem the following year or at the end of the year.
Well, even during the, if you buy, for instance, grape juice or wine, Israeli wine.
Right, but I'm saying later on, like wine is usually takes a while to actually make.
Right, so the wine you have to, for the next 2 or 3 years, you have to keep an eye on it. It's,
wine, you always have to be careful, yeah.
That's, yeah, so you have to, it'll say if it's Schmitter product or not on the wine. Okay.
They had a shipment of wine in my neighborhood, and they didn't. It was not on a wine bottle. They put a note like on a wall.
Oh, really?
In giant white and black letters. You know that opinion I had earlier. That was the opinion of the rubble. You know who the rubble was?
No.
Rabbi Binyamin Leib.
Okay.
That's why they call him the rubble.
Okay. Last parak of Shviyas. Now we have a new subject, and that is that Shemitah cancels all loans. So if you lend somebody money and Shemitah comes along, he now is not obliged to pay you back. So Mishnah says, Shviyas, Moshemetes is a milva. Shviyas cancels all loans. Moshemetes means to cancel all the loans. Bishtar, Shaloi Bishtar. Whether you took a loan with documented loan, or just a loan with a verbal commitment, it's cancelled out. So all loans are cancelled out. Now today, nowadays you write a prusbul, which we'll get to later on in the carrot. The prusbul is a document that the Chachamim established, which allows you to collect your loan. Okay, now hakofas hachanos eina mashimates. Now what happens if I go into a store and I buy something on credit? So I go into the store and my local bakery, and I take a loaf of bread, and they say, I'll pay you later. So that's not considered a loan, because we learn it out from a posuk, and so we learn from a posuk that Shmita cancels only a loan, not other kinds of debt. And here, this is a debt, but it's not considered a loan, because it's just considered an unfinished transaction. So I took the bread, and I didn't pay you yet, but it's not like you lent me the money. I just haven't gotten around to paying you yet. So that's called a kofos hachanus, the ledger of the storekeeper is not considered a loan, and therefore it doesn't cancel out. But if the shopkeeper says, hey, listen, this is your bill, you owe me $50, then at that point it's since it's been calculated, it's considered a loan, and therefore the shopkeeper would not be able to collect it at Shmita. And why, by the way, the halacha
is not how it works. Isn't it converted to money immediately?
How do you mean?
I mean, it's like they buy on credit, so it goes under their name that they already owe a certain amount of money for all their shopping.
Yeah. So if the mission says, if you just walk into a store and you take something and you're gonna come back and pay later on, that's not considered
without official record keeping.
Right. It's just like the guy. I see. Take the bread and pay me later. That's fine. So it's just like
finished. So it's not how it works nowadays.
You haven't finished the transaction, but if the storekeeper has a spreadsheet and he puts down all your purchases, and then he tells you owe me $50, and that's considered that he's lent you the money, and therefore it would cancel out. Now, by the way, the halacha is that Shmita cancels out at the end of the year. So next year is Shmita, so you have a whole year to write a prosbul if you lend people money. And it's only on the last day of the year that the debt is canceled. So during the year, you can collect your debts. It's only the last day of the year that the debt is canceled.
Before Rosh Hashanah, so the day before Rosh Hashanah?
Right, Erev Rosh Hashanah, right. Rabbi Huda Aimer, Harishon Rishon Meshamet. So Rabbi Huda says, if you go into a store, and I took some bread, and then the next day I came and took some cake. So the bread from yesterday, now, since I haven't paid it, that becomes a debt. So each time I come back and I haven't paid, my previous purchase is now becomes a debt, and therefore it would also the shop storekeeper could not collect it on Shmita. Okay, schar socher el meshamet, if I owe wages to my worker, it's not considered a loan, because it's just an unfinished, same as before, it's an unfinished transaction. Bima so milva, but if the worker says, hey, listen, you owe me $200, my wages, then it becomes a debt, and therefore it would cancel out. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a kamalacha shabesekes b'shvius mishametus. So Rabbi Yossi says that there's another consideration with wages. Any work that I can do during Shmita, for instance, if somebody is employed to plow the field. Now during Shmita you cannot plow the field. So therefore he's got no work for the next year. And he should tell his boss, hey, I finished my work, I'm not gonna work for the next year, pay me now. And if he doesn't do that, then it's considered that he, the money is a debt from the employer to the employee, and it's considered a debt. So Rabbi Yossi says, if it's work that does not continue during Shemitah, then the fact that you haven't claimed it makes it into a debt. But for she'ena pesekes peshvius, but the work that continues, for instance, the guy's a window cleaner, okay, and his work's going to continue during Shvius, and therefore, when you owe me money, if I don't collect it, it's not because I'm lending it to you, it's because I just haven't gotten around to collecting it yet. So therefore, any work that you continue doing during Shmita, it's not a debt. I haven't collected it yet, but it's not formally a debt. Whereas if it's work that I can't do during Shmita, and therefore I would be claiming my money from you. If I didn't claim it, and I left you to keep the money and pay me later, then that's considered a debt. Okay, now we're going to give another example. Okay, Hashoichet Hasapora V'Chilka B'Rosh Hashanah. Somebody shechted a cow on the last day of Shemitah and divided it up. He shechted a cow and he sold it. This is a butcher. He shechts a cow and he sells it to five people. He divides it up. Now, in nowadays we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and we only have 20 in Elul, only has 29 days each year. We have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, sometimes Elul would have 30 days, sometimes it would have 29 days, but they also kept two days Rosh Hashanah because they didn't know. They had to keep the 30th day of Elul. They would keep it as the first day of Rosh Hashanah because the Edim weren't able to come. So somebody shechted a cow on a Rosh Hashanah and on the 30th day of Elul. So the mission is Im Hoya Chodesh Me'ubar, if Beis Din says, in fact, there's 30 days in Elul, and the first day of Rosh Hashanah was, in fact, not Rosh Hashanah really, and it was the last day of the previous year. So therefore, Meshamet, therefore, I sold people this meat, and they owe me the money, and this first day of Rosh Hashanah was, in fact, the last day of the Shemitah year. So therefore the debt, the money they owe me is canceled because in fact it was still the last day of Elul was still the Shemitah year.
Isn't it Mezor purchase on credit?
Sorry?
Isn't it same as store purchase on credit? Like, isn't it same that so it have, should not be canceled because in Rosh Hashanah you can really sell?
It's a good point. So we have to say that in this case, the guy said when he sold him the meat, he said, okay, you owe me 50 bucks, you owe me 30 bucks, you owe me 80 bucks.
No, but it's Asar and Rosh Hashanah.
It wasn't Rosh Hashanah, yeah, yeah.
He said it on Rosh Hashanah. It sounds like the same as borrowing the bread in the store.
Correct. But so we have to say here, that he told people he shechted the cow erev Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, people come to his store.
But hold on a second. He divides it on Rosh Hashanah.
Right. He divides it on Rosh Hashanah, and but he tells everybody, like in the case of the we had before, where he goes to the store and picks up the bread. He just took it and the guy says, okay, take it. Here he divided up the meat and he says, Chaim, you owe me 50 bucks, Moshe, you owe me 30 bucks.
He's allowed to do it on Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah. Yeah, you're allowed
that
to.
You owe me money. You owe me money on Russia.
What? Yeah. Okay. I'm giving you the. I'm selling you the meat. I'm a butcher. I'm selling you the meat.
As long as there's no transaction, right? As long as there's no co-save and other transactional business dealings that be, you know, forbidden. I mean,
it is a business, but it's selling the meat on credit. It's not a business deal.
You mean like transferring ownership?
Well, So the case of the Mishnah is one person, the group of people wanted to buy a cow together. So they bought it. One person goes out and pays cash for the cow,
mm-hmm.
and he shechts it, and then he divides it up between the five people. So
they don't collect it until Yom
right.
Kippur.
No, well, they owe him the money from before, right? So he puts out the cash to pay for the cow, but each person owes him $50. They didn't pay him yet. So then he gives out the meat on Rosh Hashanah, because in Rosh Hashanah you can cook, and he gives out the meat, but in fact they owe him the money from before. But when he gives out the meat, that's when the debt to him becomes actual, because he gives. So therefore, if it was on Rosh Hashanah and it was the last day of Elul, in fact. So it's in fact the last day of the Shemitah year. So it's a debt, and then the debt is canceled out because it's the last day of Shemitah. So that's the mission. Im hayah chodesh me'ul, but if the Beis Din said Elul has 30 days now, so then it's canceled out. Im lav, but if they didn't say it's the 30th day, they said today is the first day of Tishri. Then the debt is not canceled because it was a debt from the new year.
The Beis Din can do retroactive, change the calendar.
Right, Beis Din, what happens is everyone keeps Rosh Hashanah the first day, and then if they saw the moon on If Adim, let's say Adim came on the morning of Rosh Hashanah and said, we saw the moon last night. So then it's the new moon, it's the first day of Tishri. If no Adim came, then Beis Din will say, Beis Din won't say anything. And it'll be announced that in fact, this day we kept the first day of Rosh Hashanah was in fact not Rosh Hashanah, it was actually last day of Elul. Avi, when we get to Rosh Hashanah, we'll learn those halachos.
We already kind of got to Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, next halacha. Oin es mefatet. There's a law in the Torah, if somebody is oinus, if he rapes a girl, or he mefatet, or he seduces her, or he marries a lady and then he comes to Beis Din and says that she wasn't a pesula, she wasn't a virgin. So then he has to pay, and he has to pay a knas, he has to pay a fine to the father of the girl. These are three cases where it's a fine that Beis Din, the Torah is fined him. Master Beis Din, any ruling of Beis Din which obliges somebody to pay money, only a loan is cancelled out, but not a fine or a ruling of Beis Din that if somebody owes money, that's not cancelled out. That's not considered a debt. Hamal v'alamashkin, somebody lends money on collateral. So I lend you money and I take your watch as a mashkin. If a hamoisa shirois with a base, and somebody who has a bunch of loans he's given out, and he goes to Besen and says, I'm handing you all my documents and you collect it. So in both cases, enem shamtin, the loan is not cancelled, because loans are only cancelled if it's a private loan. It's a posuk, we learn out from a posuk that it's only cancelled when the borrower is your brother. If Beis Din, it says you have to give money to, what you give to your brother, it's cancelled out. But here, Beis Din, if Beis Din is the agent, or it's a fine, or you have a collateral, so it's not. It doesn't meet the requirements in the posuk, so then it doesn't cancel out. Okay, now we come to what's called a prusbel. So what happened was that when Shmita came, people wouldn't lend money. Normally, somebody somebody needs to borrow money to make a wedding or whatever it is. And it was the year before Shmita, people won't lend him because it's going to get, the loan will get, I won't get paid back, the loan will get cancelled out next year. So prusbel enem shamtiv, if you have a prusbel, if you have this document, and what's going to happen at the end of Shmita, the shul will probably put out an email with a prusbel attached, and you go to somebody, you sign it in front of Adim, and that's a valid prusbel. So therefore, if you want to collect your loan, you go to somebody and say, I lent you money, pay me. And he says, I don't have to pay you, it's Shmita. So you take out your prusbel, you show him I have a prusbel, and then he has to pay you. So prusbel ain't a masham, the prusbel does not, if you have a prusbel, that the loan is not canceled out. This is one of the things, Shehiskin, Hillel HaZoken, that Hillel HaZoken, Hillel the elder, who was the founder of Beis Hillel, he instituted that so people would still lend money. When he saw that people are stopping from lending each other, he instituted this halakha of prusbel. And when people stopped lending for Ivan Amash, Kosovatara, people were doing an Avera because the Torah says you have to lend. The Torah says the Shamalacha Penyir Dover and the Babliyal. Torah says that you have to lend money, and you shouldn't have in your mind a thought that is against the Torah. The Torah says you have to lend money. So therefore, but you're not lending money because you're scared you won't get paid back. So therefore, Hillel instituted the prusbel, so people should continue lending money even in the year of Shmita or before Shmita. Okay, Zehu Gufa Shel Prusbel. This is the text, the main text of the prusbel.
This is because people are lending out collateral.
No, people would. If you lend with collateral, you could collect anyway. But if you lend without
collateral, then you just keep the collateral.
Right. Well, yeah. So if you
don't. So the prusbel is only because people would lend without collateral.
Correct. In the case where they lend without collateral, let's say you got a poor neighbor and he needs $100 to make Shabbos. You're not going to take collateral from him.
I'm saying, what's the reason for him to enact it if he could always just make it the deal that people should always take the collateral?
Because the collateral is not always available. I mean, let's say a guy is very poor. He doesn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't give anything to give you the collateral. I mean, that's one of the halachas in the Torah also. If somebody gives you his bedding as collateral, you have to give it back to him at night.
You have to return it, yeah.
At night. Okay, so Zehu Gur Shel Prusbul, this is the main text of the Prusbul. Moisani Lochem, Ish Ploini, Uploini Hadayalan Mokum, Ploini. I give over to you, Ish, this so and so and so and so, who are Dayonim in this place. Shekol Chayv, she actually, every debt that is owed to me, Shekvenu Kozman Cheretz, that I can collect it anytime I want. So this is the text of the Prusbul, that any debt I have, I can collect whenever I want. But the Dayonim Chayisman, and the Dayonim sign underneath, the Mata or Yoedim, or two Edim or two Dayonim sign. And this is, and the reason is that the Besdin then assumes the loan, there's a general rule that Hefka Besdin, whatever, if Besdin gives a ruling about a monetary matter, their ruling sticks. Their ruling is firm. So Besdin, in effect, is taking over the ownership, taking over the debt, and collecting it on your behalf, and you can in fact collect it, because Besdin, you're acting on behalf of Besdin. Okay, now we have a little complicated here. Prusbul hamukdam kosher. So let's say I write a prusbul. I'm doing a prusbul in September, okay, which is the end of Shemitah year, and I date it July. Right. So it's kosher. Why? Because I write if I dated earlier, that means that I can only collect debt up to the, let's say I make the prusbul in September and I dated July. That means I can only collect debts made up till July. If I made a debt to you in August, I can't collect it because the prusbul is dated July. So any debts that were in effect when the prusbul was written can be collected. But if it was, so therefore, when I wrote it July instead of September, I only harmed myself, right? Because now I can't collect debts made in August. So therefore, it's kosher. It's a kosher prusbul. But the other way around, if I date it later. So let's say I write it in July and date it September. So then it's possible. Why? Because I wrote it in July, and now but I dated September. So now I lent money in August. So really that should not be included because my prusbul was written in July. But now I dated it September, so I'll be able to collect it because I can come and say, hey, I lent you money in August and my prusbul is dated September. So therefore, if you post-date a prusbul, it's possible because you could in fact use it to collect money that you're not entitled to. Okay, now that's the case with the prusbul. And now with the shtar chayv, let's say I have a loan document. I lent you money in September. Okay, so I lent you money in September, and I write the date of the document in July. Because, what happens is if I lent you money, and at the time I lent you money, you had some assets, you had some land. That land guarantees the loan. So if I write, I lend you money in September, and I date the document in July. So in effect, if you bought a property in August, right? And my document is sorry guys, let me here. I lent you money in September, okay? And I wrote the document, I wrote the loan date in July. But in fact, you had some land. Okay, I lent you money in July. I rent money in September. And I dated it July, and you had a piece of land that you sold in August. So when I lent you the money in September, you don't own that land anymore, right? But when if I dated July, so I can then say, hey, I lent you the money in July. I can go to the guy who bought the land from you in August and say to him, I got a document that I lent this guy money in July, and you bought the land from him in August, and I'm claiming it from you because that land was an asset, that land guaranteed the loan. So therefore I cannot predate a document, because if I do that, then I can grab land I'm not entitled to. But if I post-date it, okay, so if I lend you money in July and I write the September date, then there's no situation where I can it's to my detriment, because now I can't collect money that I'm entitled to because I post-dated it. Because that land you had in July, in that land you sold in August, I could have grabbed it, but since I wrote the document in September, I now cannot grab it anymore. So it's to my detriment. So therefore, if it's post-dated, it's kosher. Now you have a good question about the document not being legal if it's the wrong date. Seems that in secular law that would be the case, but with the Mishnah's telling us if there's no detriment to the one side and the other side's doing it and it's detriment to him, then it's a kosher star.
And okay. I thought of one more case actually.
Okay.
I thought of a case where if it's a depreciating asset, like these days we have cars, right? But if it was something that depreciates, if you're going to predate the contract, then you could probably sell it to the person for less money.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if they had depreciating assets, then maybe it's an animal. The animal gets older, the animal can't do as much work, so then that could be considered a depreciating asset. Maybe that's one reason why you could make that.
Yeah, that you're right. That would also be another reason why you couldn't predate or postdate. Okay, let's finish this mission. Echad lavim chamisha. If one person borrowed money from five. If one person borrowed money from five lenders, Kaiser proves by l'chol echad v'echad. He has to write each. If one person lends from five people, each lender has to write a prusbel. You can't have one person writing for all five. Each person has to write his own prusbel. You can't do a communal prusbel. But chamisha loivin me'echad. If five people borrow from one lender, he can write, doesn't have to write a specific prusbel for each borrower. You can write one prusbel for all your loans. So each lender has to write a prusbel, but you can write, if you have 10 loans out, you can write one prusbel for all 10 loans. Okay, next mission. You can only write a prusbel if you have a piece of land. So You have to have, and the reason is because technically the Bezdin will mortgage that land to the loan, and therefore the proposal is valid. So it's that's a halacha that you have to have do it on land. And in fact, I remember last Shmita there was an ad in one of the Jewish newspapers saying this guy's got a farm in Israel. He's selling you 1 square inch. Send him $100, and then you have land, and therefore all your debts, you can collect all your debts. Okay. So in question prosbel al karka, you have to have land in order to write a prosbel. In ein loy, if you don't have land, mezakehu besorch sadeh kol shehu. If the borrower has no land, the lender can give him a small piece of land in his own field, and it says, I'm giving you 1 square inch of land in my field, and now you have land, and therefore I can write the prosbel. If the borrower has land, so the borrower has to have land in order for the lender to write a prosbel, but the borrower's land is assigned. It's collateral for another loan, so the borrower can still. That's good enough. Even if it's collateral for another loan, it's good enough to write a prosbel on it. The chutzpis oima kaisin lo ish al nitzay ishtoi. You can write a prosbel for a lone man for a loan. Based if the borrower doesn't have land but his wife has land, that's good enough. The assignment, if you have orphans, they have loans out, they can the prosbel can be written on the land of their apotropos is a trustee. The trustee's land is good enough. Okay. Now we get to another. So now we said we have to have land. Question is a beehive considered land? Kaveres devarim, a beehive. So a beehive sits on the ground, and it's not actually part of the ground. It's like it's resting on the ground. So kaveres devarim, a beehive. Rebbe Elazar Omer. It's considered like land. The question layer prosbel, you can write a prosbel on it. So if you own a beehive, that's good enough for writing a prosbel. It cannot become tome because land cannot become tome. It's considered like land. If somebody detaches honey from the beehive on Shabbos, it's considered like you're pulling out a vegetable from the ground. It's considered like you're taking something out from the ground. And so it's three halachas, which depend, which are subject to this beehive being land. Rebbe Elazar said it's like land, therefore you can write a prosbel, and it's not makabel tuma like land. And it's like land, so if you on Shabbos, if you pull out, tear off some honey, it's considered like you picked something from the ground on Shabbos in Ischayev. A chaymoam remena kekarka, it's not like land, so therefore ain kaisel ne'a prosbel, you cannot write a prosbel. Mukaberes tuma b'mkayim, it is mukabel tuma because it's not land. Ba'roidim on Shabbos, if you take off a chunk of honey, your potter, it's not considered like you pulled out a vegetable from the ground, which is a very interesting machlokes. Okay, two mishnas left in Sefer Shviyos. Amachs lechay b'shvias. Somebody, okay, so now you lent this guy money, and he comes to you and he says, I want to pay you. So you're obliged, the lender has to say, Yoimulay Meshamatani, the lender has to say to him, no, you're not obliged to pay me because it's Shemitah and I'm canceling the debt. And if the borrower says, the borrower is a nice guy, says, I'm a lawyer, I could be Cain, even though it's Shemitah, and even though I'm not obliged to pay you, but I want to pay you anyway, Yekabel Menu, the lender should to accept it from him. Shenema Bezed Var HaShemitah, it says in the Pasuk, this is the Var HaShemitah, this is the word of the Shemitah. So the Pasuk teaches you that if the creditor says that he cancels the debt, if the borrower comes and says, if the lender says I'm canceling the debt, Zed Dvar HaShemitah, this is the word of canceling debts, and if the lender comes and says, the guy says I want to pay you. Lender says, "Meshamatani, I'm canceling." So we learn from that he's fulfilled his obligation by saying that he's fulfilled his obligation, and then if the borrower says, "I want to pay you anyway," so he should take it because he's by having told the borrower, "I'm canceling," he's fulfilled his obligation, and then the borrower says, "I want to pay you," so then it's okay to take it because he's fulfilled his obligation. Boy, similar case. If you have the halacha, if somebody kills accidentally, he can flee to one of the 48 cities of refuge. So he fled, and he fled to the city. And this guy arrives, and he has a big thing around his neck. Says, "I'm a murderer." Because he's running away, he killed somebody accidentally. And Yom Lehemet Sechani, he should say to them, he's a murderer. When he arrives at the gate, knocks on the door, "Hi guys, I'm a murderer." Onrulai Afopikain, they tell him, "Even though you're a murderer, we want to respect you, or we want to give you honor." The Kabul Mehem, he should accept it. Shenema Vzedva Haratzeach, this is a similar Pasuk. It says Zedva Haratzeach. This is the word of the Ratzeach, which literally means this is the matter of the Ratzeach. But we interpret it, the Pasuk, to say this is the word of the Ratzeach. The Ratzeach says, "I'm a murderer," and they say to him, "Okay, you've done your obligation. Your obligation is to declare yourself a murderer, but we anyway want to respect you." Then he should accept it from them, because he's fulfilled his obligation of acting as a murderer by saying that to them. Okay, so we have two cases where by speech the person fulfills his obligation by speech. One in the case of a debt, and one in the case of a ritzeh. Okay, the last Mishnah: Hamach zechayv b'shvias. If somebody, a borrower, goes to the lender and says, "I'm going to pay you on Shvius, even though I'm not obliged to, even though the debt is cancelled." Ruach Chachamim Noicha Emenu, the Chachamim are pleased with him. If somebody, even though the loan is legally cancelled, if somebody comes and says, "I want to pay," the Chachamim are happy with him. That means he's the Chachamim say he's a good guy. Similar case, halovim in a ger, somebody borrows money from a ger, this guy rebondavimai. So this ger and his sons became gerim at the same time. So the halacha is that the children are not his children. When a ger becomes a ger, it's like he's a newborn, and there's no obligation to to so if he borrowed money from a ger and the ger died, there's no obligation to give the money to his children because the children are not legally, they're not his children. So it says lo yachzer levonav. You're not obliged to give the money back to his children. I'll tell you an interesting story. I was once in a hotel for Yom Tov. Okay, so somebody who borrows money from a ger and the ger dies, you're not obliged to give it to his children. Bim hichzer, but he did give it back to the children. The chachomim are pleased with him. Okay, now another case where the chachomim are pleased. Anything that's a movable object is acquired with mashicha. So if I buy your watch from you and I pick it up, then I've acquired it, even though I haven't paid you for it yet. Now what happens, so we made a deal, I'm gonna buy a watch, I'm gonna pay you $50. And then I haven't picked up your watch yet. And then I want to back out of it. I say, hey, I changed my mind, I don't want your watch anymore. So since I didn't do a kinyan, your watch is still yours, and I have the right to back out. But I kept my word. I said, okay, even though I'm not obliged to complete the transaction, I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to buy a watch, and here's the $50. Kolam Kaimus Devoroi, somebody who keeps his word, and we made a deal, and I'm going to keep my word. Ruach Chachamim, Noachem, and Noach Chachamim are pleased with him that even though you weren't obliged, technically, you were not obliged to take the watch, but if you kept your word and you did it, the Chacham are also pleased with you. Okay, Rabotai, have a Shabbat Shalom.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.